What is up, you beautiful people? Welcome back to the Built on Bitcoin podcast. I'm your humble host, Jake Blockchain. And yeah, this is the podcast where we cover everything going on in stacks. I also have been saying lately, this is the podcast for the open-minded Bitcoiner, which I like the way that sounds. But yeah, today we have Chan on the podcast. Chan is the CTO of Alex, which is trying to unleash BitFi, which is DeFi on Bitcoin, via Stacks. And we cover a bunch. We cover his background in finance, why he made the jump into crypto, Web3, all of that. Seems like kind of a left turn. As well as building a rockstar team to build on something like Stacks via Clarity, and some of the challenges that come with being so early in a new language, and pushing against the limitations of a new language and building on a blockchain, plus a bunch of other stuff. So fantastic interview, and we'll jump right in here in just a sec. But first, let me give a quick shout out to my sponsor, the Stacks Foundation. And if you listen to this episode, you're listening to what Chan is talking about, what they're building at Alex, his background in coding and learning Clarity, and you get excited and maybe you want to follow in some of those footsteps, maybe work for Alex, but overall, you want to take some initiative and learn Clarity. A fantastic resource to get started is start.stacks.org. This was a site put together by the foundation, and it gives you a nice guided step format to go from an absolute beginner to maybe if you're somewhere in the middle, you can jump to step 3 or 4, and you can kind of choose your own adventure on learning Clarity that ultimately ends up with you getting a job or getting a grant from the foundation to build something yourself. So if you want to make the jump from Web2 to Web3, or from Solidity to Clarity, or you're going from zero to hero and just want to learn the basics and get started from a whole different career change, start.stacks.org is a great first resource. So check that out. All right, now without further ado, let me bring you this fantastic conversation with Chan on, the CTO of Alex.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Chan, how are you today, my friend?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the pod. The Alex team has been shipping products like crazy. And so Chente was on the podcast early on and amazing. I mean, every time I talk to someone with the Alex team, it's just a fantastic experience. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit as the CTO of Alex. And for people that don't know you, I mean, you're not a super public figure in Stacks. You're building in the background, making it happen. What's some of your background?
So yeah, I mean, I haven't been sort of public, but Chent and Rachel, both of co-founders of Alex, do that a lot. So that sort of saves me give me some slack, I suppose. But myself, I joined the Alex officially March this year. So relatively recent, I suppose. So I was born in Korea and I grew up in the UK. I studied there. And after my PhD in the computational finance, then I joined finance and spent about the last 15 years or so focusing mainly on derivatives, working for firms like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and so on. And then recently I decided to join Alex, and here I am.
Okay. And so before we get into any crypto stuff, I'm curious, what, because you said 15 years in finance and derivatives, and I'm not exactly sure what derivatives are, but we can maybe pause that for now. But at a broad level, what drew you to finance? What do you find so fascinating about finance?
Generally speaking, I was comfortable with the numbers. I mean, when you start a career, you don't really know what you like, but typically people tend to tell you what you're good at, and that's how you start. And then if you find it natural and fascinating, that's great. So that's sort of how it started for me. But generally speaking, I find money, in particular the money of account and its role in human history, very interesting. Very fascinating indeed. The money of accounts refers to really this category of money that records debit and credit on ledgers. So that actually goes back almost 30,000 years ago. So the history of money essentially, in a sense, is the history of the modern human, right? So it affects and detects so much of our life, but yet it is still very poorly understood. So why that is the case is actually quite fascinating.
You make me think of a question, because I've heard about, I think it's called like double book accounting or double something accounting, and Bitcoin is triple ledger accounting. Am I getting those words right?
This double book accounting, yeah, that is a method that we use for accounting of companies and so on. Yes, that's a standard way of reconciling various the accounts, yeah, in the company, for example.
And that's where one company has one book and one company has another book, and then as long as they match, we're happy.
So in the general accounting, for example, you have a balance sheet that records, how much you have or, how much liability you have. Then you have a profit and loss account, and then you have cash flow account. So, all three need to be reconciled so that there aren't any oddball, if you like, and all the numbers need to come to the same conclusion. So that's how generally the accounting works. So in there, then you get to see, the credit and the debit. And in particular, the reason why that is, interesting is if you look at the asset and liability, for example, this is all about extending something that you don't have perhaps, and accepting something that you don't have right now, but you will have in the future. So recording of it and how that allow you to do more than, for example, exchanging, the baseball cap you have with the earphone I have in the battering is actually quite interesting. Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to keeping track of money, like credits and debits, does the Bitcoin network change that calculus at all?
I think Bitcoin, I have to admit, when the first time I heard about Bitcoin, that was many years ago. If I told you I understood its potential right away, then I'd be lying. Again, it was many years ago, and I was total outsiders, and there are things that I didn't quite understand. But I think Bitcoin, it started as, when we look at the white paper and so on, as the payment system, and it largely is still. And then I think it can do more, but what struck me really was the core idea behind the blockchain being a decentralized ledger. I thought that was very interesting. Now, I think one thing that is interesting then is how Bitcoin then became from the payment network itself. It is and was and is already a powerful story. And I think, and if you look at the Lightning Network and so on, I think we've made a tremendous amount of progress. But what I'm interested in is really what we can do more than that. So there I'm talking really about decentralized apps and building generalized applications on Bitcoin as that decentralized ledger.
Sure, sure. And I can see after you're saying that why you made the jump to Alex, because it seems like a good foundation for innovation there. What drew you, because you've been in finance for so long, and this seems like a very left turn jump to go from doing derivatives to being a CTO at a builder like Alex. What was that like catalyst that made you want to jump?
I think from the look of it on the surface, I think it does look like it. I think a lot of my friends and former colleagues also ask me, you spend so much time in finance, and generally speaking, people of my background become, for example, hedge fund managers and so on. But instead, I became a CTO. So it is a bit sort of, as you said, a left turn sort of a change in my career. But because I studied computer science, and I always had that sort of in my, if you like, toolkit, and my interest was really sort of applying that in the finance, it sort of came naturally, if you like, when, if you think about what Alex wants to do. So when, as I said earlier, that I thought the core idea behind the blockchain as a distributed ledger was interesting, right? But what particularly interested me was actually its atomicity. Now, by atomicity, what I mean by that is the transaction succeeds either in whole or it fails in its entirety. So there's nothing in between. Now, that atomicity on a decentralized network, I think, is a key differentiator of a blockchain as a ledger compared to other existing ledger systems. So, and then when I saw now, and then I talked earlier that, you know, Bitcoin started as perhaps more of a pure payment system. But then when I saw the development of DeFi and decentralized applications in general on blockchains such as Ethereum and so on, I finally saw how fundamentally it can disrupt finance as you know it. So that's when, you know, I joined Alex and partnered with our two co-founders.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've heard that term atomicity, where it's like pass or fail, yes or no, it's binary. Mm. And so I could see how, if I'm looking, and I don't know the broad like networks very well as far as like Swift and these like how the payment networks kind of trickle down. So I think I'm just swiping my card and it pulls from my bank and they get their money, but it's much more elongated than that. There's a bunch of steps happening in between. Is that one of the beautiful innovations of blockchain, is that you can have a global ledger that could have a pass or fail and it confirms or finalizes so much faster on all parties involved than the current network?
I think so. I think that is real differentiator. And oftentimes we talk about in the decentralized application world, trustless. You know, and then you just mentioned about swiping card, for example, and you may want to withdraw some money or buy certain goods. Now, what happens on the back of it is loss of trust involved. Now, you need the merchant that is selling you goods needs to trust that the card that you're using, it is actually working. Now, who verifies that, for example, is a payment merchant and then ultimately Visa and Masters and so on. So, you know, you merchant would trust those intermediaries for your credit, essentially. And then for you, then you trust the merchant will give you the goods that they are supposed to be what they are. So there are a lot of trust that are involved. Ultimately, that leads to many inefficiencies in the modern finance, the centralization of power to certain individuals and the entities in the know. And also, you know, the waiting time. A lot of people don't realize, for example, when you buy stock. Yeah. And, you know, and many people did and do. The stockbroker tell you it has been confirmed you bought or sold certain stocks. Yeah, but actually, when you actually get the delivery of the stocks, typically happen 2 or 3 days later. And now that is also because there are many trusts involved and there are many layers you need to go through to check. Same with the international bank payment, for example. You know, why is everything is so slow? Is that? But if you have an environment where people can transact with the total strangers in a trustless environment, you can reduce all that needs for intermediation down to almost zero. And that is not something real world in the current setting can ever achieve. In fact, you know, that setting has been with the human history. And I talk about the money of account going back 30,000 years ago. That is precisely that. And I think the blockchain gives you an opportunity to really redesign whole finance without having to rely on that trust, if you like.
Okay. So then after you just said that, if I say, what is Alex then? Like, what are you guys building? How do you respond?
So I will have to spend a bit of time, but in the simplest, to start with, at Alex, we're really talking about DeFi. So by that, we mean the finance on Bitcoin. So we are building a financial services platform with the Bitcoin as its settlement layer. Now, I think that is very important. But as you know, the building such decentralized applications on the Bitcoin has been harder than other blockchains, such as Ethereum. But with the development of likes of stacks that enable building smart contracts on Bitcoin, we are now able to build a full suite of such apps while continuing to rely on the security of Bitcoin. So since our launch in the early this year, we have built DeFi primitives like AMM, like Uniswap types and the lending and borrowing. And we'll be rolling out the central limit order book and the BTC yield products later in the year. So here we're really talking about central limit order book that settles on Bitcoin and a native Bitcoin earning yield. So we're very much, you know, very excited about it. Now, some people then ask, well, why we chose Bitcoin and Stacks as opposed to others like Ethereum to develop our offering? And I think that's a good question. And it's important to remember that, again, we're dealing with money and in the financial products. And we chose to develop on Bitcoin because our view is that consumers choose financial products providers based on, number one, user experience, and number two, security. And certain design choices need to be made around these two points. But once such decisions are made, some of them are irreversible. And the choice of your blockchain as your settlement layer is one. So that's where I am. Maybe I'll stop here, Jake, and then, you know, if you have any questions, then I'll take. But otherwise, I can go in a bit more deeper in terms of user experience and security, what we think about it.
It's a good question. I think I'll defer some of those people who are curious about those nuances to maybe my previous interview with Chente, because one thing I'm really interested in, and this struck me personally, where a lot of DeFi applications are focused on the tech and not on the UI. And I don't have a finance background. I don't do derivatives trading. I don't know any of that stuff. And so I need to be handheld very, very slowly to understand and feel secure giving up my money. And as soon as I used your guys' platform, the logical flow from swapping to then staking to then farming, it just felt very coherent. And I felt like I was being walked along a nice onboarding flow. And it was great UI and graphs and everything the entire way. I knew what I was getting into. And so I'd love to deep dive a little bit into how you guys think about design. And maybe to start, you're the CTO. What does your average day look like? What is it that you do?
So we have a pretty decentralized remote, team. Our engineering team in particular is all over the place, and so we have some in the US and some in Europe and some in Asia. So when you say typical hour or, working, it depends on, well, when does it start? Generally speaking, in terms of if you think about what we do, so we ship products. Right. So we are looking to deliver the best user experience that is built on Bitcoin. So that entails in certain products that I talked about. Then generally we start with product ideas, obviously, and they can come from our own or our community, or sometimes we do, the research our competitors, and there are many respectable competitors out there that are building some great products. So once we have those ideas, then we discuss about it and we agree to product, and then also sort of the roadmap and how they want to plan. So overall, plan about it. Then that goes to the product team for the product design. And that's when typically the smart contract development also starts. So for myself, I work very closely with our co-founders, Chent and Rachel, to deliver on those and also focus on the building the team itself. Now, as a software engineer, I am primarily responsible for the smart contracts. So, that's when I tend to be heavily involved. Now, once the product design and the smart contracts are done, then they move to the front end and back end engineering team who build their parts. And then following the integration of all the parts, then they go to the quality assurance and the user acceptance testing before it is released to production. So that is done. We keep something called the book of work that sort of processes all the stages of the development. And it is my job to ensure that everyone is aware of what we are doing, how we are doing, and how we are going to manage what is coming. So it's very dynamic, but we do have some systematic approach to deal with a lot of these. So once you get used to this, it's actually very enjoyable. Yeah.
Okay. And how much time would you say do you spend coding versus managing?
I think I spend. I mean, we are ultimately a small team, you know. And it may change, you know, in the future. But we currently have around 15-person engineering team. So relatively small. So I spent, I think, almost 90%, you know, coding and you know, talking about products and developing and so on. Generally speaking, yeah, I mean, we don't spend much time on managing, but not because we don't like managing. I think the managing the team rightly, you know, is very, very important part, whether you have a small team or large team. But again, I think it's important to be efficient and have a system in place that reduces a lot of burden, you know, out of what you have to do manually. Yeah, so, and I like coding, so yeah.
Okay. Because I'm just, again, I'm like, when I look at the landscape of Stacks, I've been here for a while, so I could see they're doing this much, you guys are shipping this much, and you guys seem to be executing on a higher tier. Not to disregard other teams, everyone works hard, but you guys seem to have clones. Like there's just something about you guys ship fast and everything looks polished. Is the process the dominant thing there, or is it attracting the right talent or some combination? Like, is there some advice that you should give, I guess is my question, to teams trying to up their bar in some sense and deliver at a higher level?
That's a difficult one to answer, really, because I think everyone has different situations, and we certainly, you know, have our own unique set of styles and approaches. So what I'm saying is what, you know, what is working for us may not work for, you know, others. From our perspective, I think fundamentally we have good people and, you know, good environment. I'm not necessarily sort of... I think, you know, team player, if you like, you know, I mean, okay, this can be a bit controversial, but I don't necessarily believe in people saying we work together. What do you mean by that? You know, because that often leads to a moral hazard in that, well, you know, the other person can do the job, then I can just take an easier time, if you like, you know, and that also makes, if you like, the roles and responsibility very unclear. So I don't particularly like that word. But however, I do believe in teamwork. I think you can achieve a lot by working as a team and then having a clearly defined roles and responsibilities. And I think that ownership, if you like, to each individual team member empowers people and result in creating a good working environment. Now, this sounds may sound a bit like cliche, and it's also actually sort of harder to describe. But if you look at how we hire people, we don't actually hire people easily. We are very cautious, partly because we are a small startup and you know, run a relatively tight ship. But we want to, first of all, ensure that everyone likes the candidate in terms of the sort of the working style and, for example, the coding standard, so that certain standards are met, if you like, you know. So I think that is very important. Now, it may change when the team grows, but, you know, when you have a team like, you know, us, I think that is very important. And also the candidate feels an obvious and measurable gap that we have, so there aren't any conflicts. And now, some firms I saw like to encourage internal competition. And I think, you know, that may be a good way of getting things, but I don't think we're at a stage where personally, that's not something that I think it's not something that I would want to go down. From my perspective, I think it's important that everyone, again, understand what they do and, you know, deliver on their area of expertise. You know, so once you have that, and when we onboard a candidate, then we also ensure that the expectation between us and the new hire is right. And by that, what I mean is a lot of relationship can start great, but we also recognize the interviews themselves don't cover everything, right? So it may not work out. And I think it's very important for any new relationship to recognize that, and you know, if things don't work, then it may need to be cut short. So I think being transparent about it, making sure the other person and we also understand, is important. But once you have that, and when we have the right candidate and the right team member, we are committed, we are personal, and we respect individuals as they are. Now, I think that brings the best out of the team and resulting in everyone putting in, you know, the best they can. And that, I think, is probably the biggest reason why we have been successful at what we've been doing.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. You're very stringent, so you just hire the best. If it's not the right fit, I mean, there's someone else that could be. And making it clear. So then, and we're coming up on time, and I want to be respectful of it. So I'll just got a couple more questions. You have this top-tier engineering team. Everyone's firing on all cylinders. They know what their task is. What's the biggest challenge that you guys have been facing trying to build on Stacks and like unleash BitFi? What's the biggest technical hurdles you guys are facing?
I think the technical hurdle Clarity itself is a relatively new language. So it does come with its own handicap. And I've been writing in Clarity for the last year or so. And as a software engineer, the beauty of the language itself and the security it provides is not something I've seen elsewhere. And so that's that. Now, the choice of Bitcoin, because, you know, unlike other blockchains, if you like, it has a slower finality and the confirmation time, does restrict certain aspects of user experience, which we need to focus on. So, for example, there's a lot of L2s and so on being developed. But if you look at the focus of those additional layers on top of Ethereum, they mainly focus on the transaction costs, reducing the transaction costs rather than, you know, reducing the confirmation time, right? Whereas in our case, and the reason and the way we are building our order book, for example, is primarily targeting to reduce the confirmation time that users experience while continuing to rely on the Bitcoin. So I think in a different chains probably have a different technical challenges and its own pros and cons. But I think all of them are generally surmountable, I would say. I think the bigger challenges, I suppose, has really been on the, because the Stacks is a relatively upstart and it is relatively unknown in the DeFi yet, although I think we have made a very rapid progress in the recognition. And DeFi on Bitcoin in general is still in the early stage. So from the recognition and as a result, if you like, the investment, amount of investment that goes into the DeFi has somewhat lagging versus that of, for example, in the Ethereum world and so on, which I think is going to change. And I think this, crypto winter actually provided a very good setting, if you like, for that change to happen. So, you know, we have definitely seen a lot more interest in building on Stacks and also, you know, Bitcoin DeFi in general. So I think that is going to change. So yeah, I mean, I think, again, you start with sort of early stage product, and then you are one of the early adopters. And then therefore, you go through that growing pain together, you know. Yeah. Yep. And I think it has double-edged sword. And one hand, it's great that you can be part of something that is developing rapidly. And all the problems, for example, we work very closely with the boss Hero, the main developer of the Stacks and also Stacks Foundation in terms of, you know, what roadmap we have to set, we want to set for the, you know, product development and for Stacks and so on. So we are really part of that development. But also that means on the other side, you have to go through it, right? Yeah. So a bit of a waiting game. As a builder, however, I think that is much better than, for example, building on what is already there. You know, it's not as exciting. And to our investors as well, I think that does give a much better asymmetric bet, you know, than anything else out there, which I think makes our project unique as well.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Stacks is at the frontier of something. So there's that very much that asymmetric risk reward. Okay, last question. I like to end on a high note. So I'm thinking, you know, Stacks starts to get its due. It's in the top 10. People are finding out about it. What do you see? What does Alex look like 3-4 years out? Stacks is in that position, and you guys have just been crushing execution. What does Alex look like in that phase?
So the next 6 months, you will see us launching, and I mentioned briefly as well, the central limit order book addressing the transaction confirmation time issue. And also we will have Bitcoin yield products suitable for both institutional and the retail investors alike. So from there, we will continue building the best user experience on the most secure blockchain on Earth. Yeah. Now, I think that is important, and the DeFi in general, because, and I briefly talked about it, I do think DeFi itself is a game changer for finance, because it is one technology that can remove trust from the finance. And then by that, we're really talking about the possibility of transacting finance or transacting without having to rely on credit. And then credit tends to be the main, if you like, the driver, not only for the growth, but also for the booms and busts. So it comes with a lot of inefficiencies. So from that perspective, I think building finance on the settlement layer like Bitcoin can really be an extremely compelling competitive offering versus traditional finance and the CeFi for that matter. Now, in 3 years, and then in a crypto world, 3 years is a long time, but we do think it is our view that regulation will start applying across CeFi, DeFi, and then TradFi, and that they will, from the user experience and from user perspective, they will be only a fine. So what do we want to be in the 3 years? Continuing to build, again, the best user experience on the most secure chain on Earth. We want to be among the biggest and the best. And it brings the real change to the real world. And that's what, I and, we all at Alex would like to see.
Beautifully said. I think that's a perfect way to end it, Chan. Any closing thoughts before we shut this down that we didn't get to?
No, I think we're good. We're good. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to drop any contact info or where can people find you or go to Alex?
Yeah, I mean, you can reach out to us. We have a very active community that takes feedbacks and then talk about all sorts of things about DeFi. So you're more than welcome to join. All those links are available on our website. Through the developer website of alexgrow.io or our foundation website at alexlab.co. So you can start from there.
Perfect. And I will drop those in the description to make it super easy for you guys. One click away. But this has been fantastic, Chan. Thank you for taking the time and coming on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
I know that things don't always go your way, but I'll be right here waiting.
I've been waiting now. Trying to figure out a way to make it out, 'cause I don't think about everything going wrong in my house.